All right, Adam Carolla has been at this thing called entertainment for over 25 years. Comedian, radio personality, podcaster, TV host, author, loves all things comedy and cars, and he's coming to Chicago to the historic Genesee Theater in Waukegan with his show, Adam Carolla is Unprepared. Next Thursday, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, visit GenesseeTheater.com. And hanging out with us is Adam Carolla. Adam, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I want to jump into some subjects that I hear you talk about all the time. And I've asked many comedians about this. I've asked Dennis Leary. I've asked Jeff Garlin. I've heard it from the late Joan Rivers, Mel Brooks, that political correctness in comedy, cancel culture and comedy. How does anybody do comedy today without the fear of offending somebody?
Well, you know, the fear of offending and being offended, that the threshold has been so lowered on that, that it's subterranean now. So I can't speak for other comedians, but I don't go into it with the fear that I might offend somebody. If you're not offending somebody, you're probably not pushing hard enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in those who may be offended. My focus is on saying what I think is funny, true and funny, and it'll be up to the ear of the beholder as to whether they're offended or not.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, the aim of comedy isn't to hurt people, it's to make people laugh. I mean, people are looking for escape when they go see somebody live in concert, or they're watching someone on television. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy themselves. But there are people out there, as you know, who are just looking to stir anything up. The PC police, it's like they're always watching now.
Yeah, I don't worry about offending them because I never believe they're truly offended.
Interesting.
I think they're just saying that. I don't think they're actually offended, especially over a lot of the stuff that's sort of nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, Sharon Osbourne defends Piers Morgan for something that he said about one of the royals' wives, and he's being called a racist, and then she's called a racist for defending him. But
yeah.
Do we really think they're racist? I don't think so.
No.
I think they're just saying that because they want dominion over you. I don't think they actually think any of the stuff they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd interviewed Joan Rivers. It was a few months before she passed. And it was about, I think it was that time where either E! Entertainment or CNN was interviewing her. And this woman that didn't even know who she was, had no really background except maybe what she looked on at Wikipedia, and said to Joan, why are you making fun of them? Why are you making fun of her coat? Why are you making fun of the way she dresses? And Joan was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is comedy. This is what I do. It's to make people laugh, not to offend everybody.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, I say that, look, anything I'm joking about, I can definitely say that's a joke, give me a break. But if you want to be more accurate, I do mean it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't joke about things that I don't actually think or mean. And sometimes there is a joke about something that is intent. The intent isn't just to create mirth. You know, there's a lot of political humor, and it's funny, but it's also trying to knock the other side down a peg.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That's part of it.
You know, back in the day, if you appeared at a comedy club and, you know, nobody was filming anything on their smartphone, that might be the biggest culprit is not social media in general, but everything's recorded every minute of every day. So you can't even, like, even if you're going out and testing material, like a lot of what do these comedians do is they, you know, they walk into a club and try it out. It's online in minutes. And,
right.
You know, and I think that's probably bigger than anything because it's the trolls on social media that have just kind of torn it all down a bit.
Yeah, I think they've created this environment. People are paranoid, quite frankly, about, but not paranoid in that it's unjust, I guess. motivated paranoia that things are going to be taken out of context, thrown up as little bits or bites, and they're somehow going to be deplatformed. And it's not really it's not where you want the comedian's heads at. You don't want a comedian or an airline pilot or a quarterback like second guessing everything or thinking about all that could happen in terms of the negativity in their career. You'd like them just out there doing their job. So it is created an environment where comedians are kind of self-censoring, and that's a really scary place to be in.
Yeah, it is. You know, you and I grew up with, you know, the Friars Club and Dean Martin and all those great classic roasts with Rickles and everybody in the very beginning. And then you got the Comedy Central roasts that are just brutal. But, you know, they are there for a ridiculously high level of humor, ball busting. It's a roast. And, you know, when I'm watching some of this stuff now, just looking at the roast of Bob Saget or Donald Trump or, you know, Roseanne or whoever it was sitting up on stage, I mean, it's brutal. But I think that's an expectation you have to have walking into it, or don't watch it.
Well, not only that, as someone who's done three of those rows,
yeah,
you shall be brutalized yourself.
That's true.
Anyone who walks out on that stage is going to get fragged. You know, you may not be the sole recipient of it, but you shall not escape. And I don't think people really understand that. You know, they think, oh, Jeff Ross or Kathy Griffin or Adam Carolla or someone goes up there, then we're really going to stick it to Trump or Pam Anderson or whomever. Not so. You will get a good reaming as well.
Yeah, you will. Lisa Lampanelli, for example. Yeah, you're going to be brutalized. We are talking to Adam Carolla. He's appearing at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan with his show. Adam Carolla is Unprepared next Thursday, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. And we'll pick up this conversation when we get back here on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Adam Carolla. Late night TV, and a lot of these hosts are friends of yours. And I feel like I'm watching C-SPAN in many cases. I mean, Kimmel's maybe the one standout that's a little bit more traditional in his late night show, but when I'm, you know, when it's 10:30 at night and I've been watching news all day and I've been on my podcast all day and listening to the radio, I want to escape and laugh a little bit. And then it kind of gets brought full circle. And I remember Johnny Carson once said, it was a 60 Minutes interview. He goes, tell me the last time a comedian used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see, you know, once you start that, you start to get to that self-important feeling that what you say has great importance. And, you know, strangely enough, you could use that as a form to sway people. And I don't think as an entertainer in late night television, I should be doing that. It has shifted quite a bit since then.
Yeah, it has. But look at the corporate world. I mean, think about how much they've shifted.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of politics, you know, somebody wants to throw an all-star game in Atlanta and American Airlines is pulling out, you know, or making a statement, or Nike, you know, Apple, you know, the list goes on and on. So, you know, it's kind of funny. We do talk about the late night hosts and they've gotten preachy or they got political, but it's really just in the zeitgeist. It's everywhere. You know, when I was growing up and you were growing up, I didn't know where the hell Ford or AT&T was politically. You guys made cars and you guys sold telephones, you know? And so it's not just, you know, in a way, maybe I'm making an excuse for the late night guys here, but in a way, the late night guys kind of go, where is the society? Which way is the wind blowing? What's going on out there in the world? And now I'm going to do a monologue about it. And this is what's going on in the world. You know, maybe it's everyone's fault for politicizing everything.
And I mean, you're laughing about it, I guess, you know, and even, you know, with the previous generation of the Lettermans and the Lenos, I mean, they would get into it and make fun of Ronald Reagan or make fun of Bush falling down the stairs or whatever it may have been at the time. But they get a lot deeper. I mean, it really becomes some political conversations as well. I get it during the monologue. I mean, you're really talking about lampooning the news of the day, but it's just shifted so much on that. And you were talking about the companies that, you know, where they stand politically. And it's something you didn't know, you know, a generation ago. But it's also the beginning of award season. And, you know, what are your thoughts on celebrities who need to share their political views on stage? They have to take a minute out of their speech to do that. And I know a lot of them actually put their money where their mouth is when it comes to donations to big charities and so forth. But again, when I think, you know, when millions of Americans watch these award shows, it was about entertainment by your favorite stars. And, I, you know, for me, I don't necessarily want to be preached to.
Yeah, it's funny. I had that thought. Like, I found myself a couple weekends ago. I was just sitting home watching the SAG Awards.
Yeah.
And I thought, these are the most blowhardy, bloviating of all the celebrities up there. And I thought, you know, they should time all these awards to take place shortly after a war breaks out in Ukraine. Because all it was is we stand with the people of Ukraine versus, you know, let me bloviate about the transgender community for 10 minutes. So it was kind of nice in its own morbid way to hear people just sort of talking about something that we all agree on.
Yeah, like, very true.
Putin bad, war bad, you know, Ukraine good, stand with Ukraine. Like, so it was one of the few times you could watch an award show and have some celebrity start bloviating about something and go, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. This has brought everyone together on a whole other level. I'm going to lighten this conversation a bit before I let you go. You are a car nut, and I know you do a podcast on that, too. And I saw your collection. I think it was in the LA Times. What got you into all that? I mean, a lot of it is race cars, but you've got some really cool rides.
I grew up kind of poor with a dad that didn't have tools or like cars or whatever. I was always very mechanically minded, and I just sort of went, huh, well, now that I made some money and had some success, let me try to fill this hole that was inside of me when I was 9. And get some tools and some cars and do some racing. And it's just always been in me. It was always in me. I just could never afford it. I drove a truck. I swung a hammer. I couldn't get a cool car. And so part of it is that's who I am. I'm this mechanically based. And the other part is this flat out overcompensation for a young life with no tools or cars.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I know asking what your favorite car is like asking what your favorite kid is, but I mean, if you're touring somebody around your garage and you want to show them a ride, like what's the one that you just can't wait to show somebody and why?
I would say the Jewel and the Crown is probably, a 1979 Porsche 935 race car that Paul Newman drove.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
That's probably the coolest one in there. It's just a cool piece. Anyway, 935s, and anyone listening, just Google it if they're not sure what a 935 is. But 935s are sort of the coolest. Anyway, but this one with Newman driving the 24-hour Le Mans, coming in first in his class, that's
a story.
That's a pretty special car, and I've driven it four or five events
as well,
and it's just I just love it.
Very cool. Very, very cool. And you're coming to the Genesee Theater. Adam Carolla's Unprepared, so a little comedy, a little chat about what's going on today. What else are we gonna get from you at the Genesee Theater?
I come out and do stand-up, just traditional stand-up for about an hour, and then at some point we'll transition to ping pong balls get handed out before the show. Everyone writes one word on the ping pong ball, put it in a bingo hopper. Someone will come up on stage and pull a ball out, and I will do a stand-up bit on whatever it says on that ping pong ball.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that is Adam Carolla's Unprepared. Next Thursday, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, visit Genesee Theater, and that's theater, T-R-E. .com. And for all things Adam, visit adamcarolla.com. Always good getting your varying perspective on things. I appreciate your time tonight, and we'll see you next week in Chicago, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Thank you, sir. All right, Adam Carolla, everybody.